Yeah, we want to talk a little bit tonight. We only got a few minutes because we're going a little bit long, but it's great to see all of you. I hope you appreciate the fact that we can all come together once in a while as a region. All the ministries, you know, we got the singles in the campus in the house, and we have the Latin ministries and the family life ministry. It's awesome for all of us to get together. And some of you are saying, well, why can't we do this more? And why do we have split up services? And why do we have split up, you know, midweeks and this kind of thing? And you go, well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And that's what we're going to address is and focus on the joy of giving. And to revisit our vision. What is our vision as a church? And why do we do the things that we do? Why do we have split services? And why do we have specialized ministries? And all these different things. And just to revisit our vision as a Lighthouse Church of Christ. Our vision is to build a church for people who don't attend church. And in the last few months, we really, really tried to grow in this and build this. And it's been working. It's been happening. And we went to different times, you know, we started with our 9:30 service, and then the Latins had their 12:30 service, and then we went to our 5:30 service. Our attendance has gone up between 50 and 100 people per Sunday, and most of those are guests. And they've come and they've shared with me, thank you that you have a 5:30 service, because I had to work, and I work on Sundays, but now I can come to church at 5:30. And these are friends and neighbors, these are people that we know. And I know there are a few members in the house tonight because it's caught you. You've had some things going on. So don't say it's all about the visitors and the guests that are here. We also get to come to an evening service, right? So the different time changes, although it's been splitting up and being smaller in our services, it's really working to give people more of an opportunity to come to church. And then the other thing is the messages that we've been doing, right? How about the messages? I gotta tell you about the feedback of the messages, and I don't take any of the credit, okay? I don't take the credit. I'm taking a platform, taking some messages. We're changing it because it's not about us as a church, and if you're a guest here tonight, I want you to know we are building this church for you because we want people outside the church to be able to connect immediately, to walk away and go, hey, God cares about me. God has something good and practical to say in his word for me so my life can change. I got to tell you a couple stories about the messages. We had a couple, a woman who came to church a few weeks ago, right in the beginning of climate change. And she came and she heard the first message. She went home and she said, man, this is so good. And she was separated from her husband. They weren't living together. And they'd been married for a number of years. Their kids are, some of them are grown. And this is a couple that's been married for a while and they're separated. And she says, you know what? I got to do this. You know, what's it like to be on the other side of me with my husband who's now living outside of the house? And so she shared with him, he shared with her, then he said, why don't you come and watch the messages online with me? And so he was watching the messages online, and then it was about week three, and he was blown away about the messages. He decided to move back into the house. They're back together again. And then this past Sunday, he's been so blown away by the messages that he was here, sitting right here this Sunday because of the messages and the platforms, and they're going to begin studying the Bible. They're leaning in. Isn't that awesome? Here's the quote. Here's the quote, and I don't take any credit. This is the Word of God and the way we present it. That's what's doing it. And she said this. This was her quote. She says, We don't need to pay for marriage counseling anymore. We just need to come to church because the messages we're getting are going to help us heal our marriage. So I hope you're taking advantage of those messages because they could change everything. And we're going to keep them coming. Get ready. The other thing is our groups and families. People have been blown away. People walk in and they feel family. Is Francesca here in the house tonight? Is she working? She what? She's taking her finals tonight? I'm sorry. Well, anyways, the first time she walked in, she was baptized 2 weeks ago, right? And the first time she walked in because of our guest services, the family feel, she said she hadn't been to church in over a year. And so she walked in and she said, you know what? I was going to go back out to the car because I wasn't feeling it. But then I saw someone at the top of the stairs that said, hey, come on in. We're so glad you're here. a friendly face. And so she walked in and she loved it. And she, since that day, has not stopped coming. And she was baptized into Christ last few weeks. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, it's not just the times. It's not just the messages. It's the family feel. And we had another couple that's been coming to church. She was coming in the beginning, in the front end of the message series, Climate Change. And then her husband was so blown away by her changes, and they were on the rocks ready to get split up and get separated. But he saw the changes in her. He started leaning in. He came to church. He's been coming to church for the last few weeks. And just this past week, they had some kind of school activity. Imagine a school activity on a Sunday. Isn't that crazy? You see, there's something wrong about that. Or is there? And our position as a church, if the school is going to have programs on Sunday, guess what we're going to do? We're going to change and move our services around so that people can come anyway. And that's what happened. They came to the 5:30 service. And it was a combination of the messages and it's a combination of the love. This couple, just so you understand, they live in Huntington Beach. And they're willing to drive here to be a part of the family and hear the messages. And they couldn't make it in the morning, but they drove all the way from Huntington Beach. And they're like, this church is so awesome. I've never felt anything like this. So a church alive is worth the drive. Right? It doesn't stop there. I got to talk about our shepherds, because we've got some incredible shepherds. I'm so grateful for Joe and Sandy Newfield, for Dave and Shirley Moss, the work that they've been doing. They've been working with a shepherding group to not just take care of people that are coming in, because it's one thing to get people to come and to get baptized, but then it's another thing to take care of them and to make sure we take care of our family too, right? And if people are on the rock spiritually, and they started a few weeks ago, or about a month ago, you started a marriage 911, right? Marriage 911. So if your marriage is in trouble, guess what you do? 911. And you call, and you get to be a part of this group. And there has been, in the last few weeks, some marriages that were in trouble in our church, brothers and sisters, and they have completely turned things around because of this shepherding group. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing. Now, we don't want a lot of couples in the 911 marriage group, okay? It's just there in case of emergencies, in case of a need. All right? I sure don't want to be in that group, in that married group. And then of all of our ministries, the children's ministry, the teen ministry. What's been happening in the Latin teen ministry has been amazing. There have been a number of Latin teens that have been baptized. Where's Gary Torres, where are you at? You here? There he is. He was baptized in January. Then, where's Virginia? Virginia Moya, where's Virginia at? Virginia was baptized in January. Then in February, where's Abel? Where's Abel? Abel, where you at? Come out from the dark. Come into the light, Abel. He was baptized. Abel was baptized in February, and then Estefania was baptized just 2 weeks. Where are you at, Estefania? Stand up. Okay, so I got to share about this, okay, because in the Latin ministry, it was a challenge. A lot of the teens were not leaning in, and God started working, and just in these last couple of months, these five young people have leaned in and have gotten baptized in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. So I just want you guys to know, you teens in the Latin ministry, you guys are awesome, and I'm so proud of you for you taking a stand and doing what you're doing. Okay? So where we stand right now, everything's working. And it's working towards one end. And that we want to see a lot of people, young, married, single, we want to see a lot of people getting baptized and getting saved and getting right with God. That's the end. We want to see people getting saved. But we don't want to stop where we are. We want to take it higher. We want to go long. And we want to go deep and we want to go wide. with this ministry because the need is tremendous. It's tremendous. So tonight, I just want to leave you with a couple of things, okay? And we're going to talk about the joy of giving. So I got one more video that I want to show you. And this is somebody that doesn't follow Jesus, but they get it. They get it and they share it about giving can change your life and give you the joy. So let's watch it. Okay, you ready? Turn down the lights for me if you would, please.
I finished my college here. I was working for Taj Group of Hotels Bangalore. I saw a very old man. He was eating his own human waste for hunger. I thought, what is the purpose of my life? What am I going to do? In a star hotel, I feed all my guests, but where in my hometown, there are people who are living even without food. I quit my job and I started feeding all these people from 2002. Venpongal and sambar. Venpongal is a blend of rice and dal with a lot of spices. Venpongal and sambar was being made for the breakfast, and for the lunch we made tomato rice and sabji. We fed the homeless, mentally ill destitute, and the old people who have been left uncared of the society. People are suffering for food. They don't have food to eat. If you don't give them food to eat, they will die out of human hunger. I cut their hair. I give them a shave. I give them bath. For them to feel psychologically that they are also human beings. There are people to care for them. Yeah, they have a hand to hold. Hope to live. Food is one part, love is another part. So the food will give them physical nutrition. The love and affection which you show will give them mental nutrition. Being a Brahmin community and an Orthodox family, there were a lot of objections. Brahmins are not supposed to touch these people, clean these people, hug these people, feed these people. Everybody has got 5.5 liters of blood. I am just a human being. For me, everybody are same. There are thousands and thousands and lakhs of people suffering. What is the ultimate purpose of life is to give. Start giving. See the joy of giving.
This is somebody that found it out for themselves, going out and recognizing a need and changing their life. Let's turn over in our Bible to Acts chapter 20. And for those of us that follow Jesus, there's some very, very particular words that he shares with us here through his vessel, Paul. And I want to ask you, what is the purpose of your life? What and who are you living for? You know, it's funny, the me linebacker blowing people up. But the reality is, what percentage of your day do you spend thinking, doing things for others, for other people? And we read here, this is the Apostle Paul, and it was his last meeting. I'm sorry that the scripture's up on the screen, but we need to go old school tonight. Okay, so open your Bible, turn on your Bible, okay? And we're going to read here Paul's last interaction with the elders in Ephesus. And look what he says here in verse 32. Now I commit to you, and he's talking to the elders, giving them the last charge. I commit to you, to God, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. For you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, he said himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what should be our conviction more than this gentleman that we just saw in India? It should be our conviction. But see, you don't have to go to India and start a Feeding the Poor project. There are many ways you can give. And I want to go through a couple of very easy things that we can do as a church to give. And we're not going to talk about money, okay? We're not going to talk about money, but I want to talk about giving of your heart. Amen. And so much of what's happened in our church in the last year or two has become, it's a result of people stepping forward and saying, I want to give, I want to serve, I want to volunteer, or I want to open my mouth and have a conversation with somebody that I just met or a friend at work or a family member, and I want to connect with them through a conversation. And a conversation leads to an invitation. And an invitation comes, they come here and they visit, or they visit a small group and they see something, they hear something, and God moves them. And God stirs their hearts. But what Paul is saying here is he says, hey, I didn't ask anything from you. I wanted something for you, not from you. And that's what I want to say to you. We as a church don't want something from you. We want something for you. And that's what we want people to understand from them, because everybody's got their guard up. They're always looking, so what's the catch? What do you want from me? What are you after? We're not after anything except we want something for you. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter. What does God want for our world? What does he want for Monterey? What does he want for West Covina? He doesn't need anything from us, but he wants something for us. What does he want for you? To be close to him, to have a relationship with him, and to be a part of his community, his family. Because when we come together, something happens. Something happens. We form a body. We form a family that we can meet a lot of needs. We can help a lot of people. They can walk in here hurting, and they can leave here encouraged and lifted up. I was at a funeral this past week of Barbara Hockenhall, our sister. She passed away in her sleep. And when we were at the funeral, we were sitting there, and so many people shared, but what I looked around and saw, she was sick for quite some time. And I saw a village that was there of brothers and sisters who were there for her when she was sick and when she was in need. Our dear sister Lonnie, she would go to her to the nursing home, and she would bring her guitar and she would sing to Barbara. And people in the nursing home or the care center, they leaned in and they said, Lonnie, will you come back? And it was all the women of the GLOW ministry. Thank you. The GLOW ministry. And they would show up to the nursing home, and people would say, you guys got to keep coming. But let me just say this. For over a year, the GLOW ministry and different brothers and sisters leaned in to help Barbara keep her faith through those hard times. She was on dialysis. She was in very poor health. But it took a village to keep her strong until God took her home. And we need the church, but we need to be the church. And I know with all the messages and with all the activities and all the ministries, we can think, hey, this is a good place for me because I'm getting my needs met. Once you become a disciple of Jesus, you got to understand this. It's not about you anymore. Yes, you will get your needs met. I do. Climate change helped me. Helped me in my relationships. But that's not the primary focus. The primary focus is others. Amen. I want others to get help. I want to be a giver. And I want to experience the joy of giving. And so tonight I want to talk about that. And briefly, let's look over at this passage. We're just going to skip through it. But I encourage you to read it in your quiet time. It's a hard hitter. It's one that you can't just close the Bible and go, okay, no, it's going to make you think and it's going to make you feel, I got some things to work on. In Matthew chapter 25, And I love this verse because it repeats the same words over and over again. Verse 34, and Jesus is talking about a parable. And the parable is what it's going to be like on Judgment Day. When it's all said and done, when he calls us home, or when he comes back and he judges us. And then in verse 34, it says, the king will say to those to his right, meaning the sheep, those that are going home to be with him. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave. And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Indeed, I needed clothes and you clothed me, and I was sick and you looked after me, and I was a prisoner and you came to visit me. You know, you think about what's going to distinguish us as followers of Jesus based on what you read right here. Me ministry, it's all about me. Hey, and I got to confess, my nature is to focus on me, and I got to fight it. I'm always thinking about me. I'm always thinking about, okay, what do I need? What do I need to eat? What do I need to do? And so it's an intentional thing that I have to do to think about other people. Yeah. How can I help somebody else? What can I do to give instead of take? This is what's going to distinguish us as followers of Jesus. He's going to look and say, are you a sheep or are you a goat? And it's all about giving. You don't have to go to India to give. You can do it in the little ways that matter so much to people. And then we continue. Now here comes the hard-hitting part, verse 37. And then the righteous, well, actually, they answer back. The righteous said, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need some clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick and in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And then it goes on to talk about the hard part, and I'll leave that to you because we got to look at time. Basically, the hard part is the me-focused people who didn't have time, who weren't thinking about others, and weren't focused on the needs of people around them, they fell into judgment. And they didn't go into the kingdom of righteousness. They went to condemnation and were separated from God for eternity. That's hard. And so you and I need to work at being givers. Givers. Not only does it make us happier and fill us with a purpose, a sense of I have meaning to my life, like the guy said. He's not even connecting it with Jesus, but he even confesses it. Hey, this has given me meaning. I used to work for a 5-star hotel. I was a chef, and I used to make a lot of money. But I found more meaning in this, helping others. And that's what we want our church to be, a church of givers to people and needs. And so I'm going to give you a couple practicals. Are you ready? What's a little way? What's a little way to give? You don't have to go to India. How about on Sundays? You know a little way that you can give? Just a little way? Our service starts at 9:30. Get here at 9:15. How hard is that? When you show up at 9:15, you know what you say? I'm here to give. You show up at 9:40, what do you say? I'm here to take. Right? You can go. You know who the singers are. You know who the band members are. Ask them tonight before they leave. How do you feel when there's hardly anybody here at 9:30? Or a third of the people here? How does it make you feel? Well, it's complicated Sunday morning. Well, then come to the 5:30 service. But those of you to come to the 5:30 service, I gotta talk about it. When you come at 5:40, 5:45, and I'm standing right here in both services, I stand there and I smile, I don't say a word, I just, hey, you know why? Because I'm here to give to you when you walk in that door. Even though you're not here to give, I want to give to you. And a lot of people in our church are giving to you. But when you show up late, You're not thinking of you. You're not thinking of others. You're thinking of you. And now, I realize there's an exception. There's always an exception. Flat tire. Hopefully you didn't get pulled over for speeding because you're running late. All right? I realize there's always an exception. Always an exception. But I want to encourage all of us, those of us who are members, okay, please come early. Come early so that you can be ready to welcome people, so that you can come ready to give. It says a lot. Would you show up late if you had guests coming over for dinner? Would you do that? Would you invite guests to your house at 9:30 and then show up at 9:40 while they're waiting at the door? You'd never do that. Why do we do it here? Well, I'm not a greeter. I'm not a host. You're a member. And you have a huge responsibility to give. So that's one little thing. Another way that you can give, very little way, have conversations with people outside of our church. Okay? You don't have to invite them right out, you know, cold contact. Hey, will you want to come to church? No, I'm saying have a conversation with them. Be out of yourself. Talk to people. Connect with people. Understand what's going on. You know what'll happen sometimes when you talk to people and they see the aura about you? I was on a flight just last week, and this 28-year-old single woman, I started a conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, she shares all this stuff. And I told her I'm a minister. Oh boy, here we go. Now she unloaded on me. She unloaded on me. All this stuff that she feels about Christians and Christian churches and Christianity. And I listened. And it's not good. And I said, you know what? We're working very hard at changing that. Because we don't want to be issue focused. We want to be people focused. And so she said, I can tell there's something different about you. And you know what? She could tell it was different because I had a conversation with her. It's that easy. It's that simple. When you connect with people and you have a conversation with people, guess what happens? Then you can invite them. Then you can share your life with them. But listen first. That's a little way. And I promise you, you're going to have a great time getting to know and making new friends. Last thing. Study the Bible with people. Amen. How hard is it? Once you have a relationship with somebody, okay, and they've come to church, because we got people come into church and nobody studies with them. They'll call me, hey, I got this friend who's coming to church. Will you study the Bible with them? And I say, you know what? I can't. I can't because I got these other Bible studies going on and I've got these other things going on with some of our members who are in need, but you can do it. And you know, I gotta brag on Aaron Dominguez. Is Aaron here? Where you at, Aaron? There you are in the back. Aaron has been stepping up to the plate and studying the Bible with his friends. Amen. And at first he said, you know, hey, can you help us with the study? And I said, Aaron, you got this. Now, I've been jumping in and I'm gonna jump in, but Aaron's running with it. And I know some of you can do it. The core four Bible studies are simple. And you know why they're simple? For you. They're also simple for our friends so they can get it. But I want to encourage you, open the Word of God. It changes people's lives. Crack it open. You don't have to do the whole Bible study. Just do a third of it. Do half of it. But you can be the instrument of change. So, I want to wrap things up here because we got to go. Told the brothers in the back we'd be done by 9:15, and we're right on time. I believe this. If we will give our time and our hearts and our lives for this vision that we have, we're going to change families. We're going to change individuals' lives. And then when their time comes for them to go home, what a celebration. It doesn't have to be a time of sadness, although it is a little sad. It can be a time of celebration. Because we ushered them in, and God's going to take them home. And the real followers of Jesus, not the fake kind, but the real followers of Jesus that love him, that follow his word, and that are devoted to a community. Amen? So I'm going to close us out with a word of prayer, and you're all dismissed. Just a reminder, with this Sunday, we're going to be all together at the Ontario Citizens Bank Arena. 8,000, 9,000 people. The music's going to be rocking. A great message. It's right here in our backyard. Remember when we used to have to drive? For some of us, we have to drive all the way to the shrine. Okay? It's just down the road here. Isn't that awesome? And have a conversation with people this week. See if they'll come along. Okay? It's going to be a great, great opportunity for us to showcase who we are in the greater LA area. Amen? It will start at 2 o'clock. So what time are you going to get there? Okay, go there to give. You got the shortest drive. Amen? Let's pray together. Pray with me if you would. And then you'll be dismissed after the prayer. Our Father God in heaven, we're so grateful.